I don't suppose, I was thinking through it, I haven't preached on adoption many times in my ministry. I believe in 1983, when I was doing a series on Bible words, I preached on adoption. Also, if you were in my doctrine class, we did go through those when we were defining words in doctrine class in the Christian Heritage School of the Bible and Theology. But I thought the best word deal with this evening to start out with is one that you're not real familiar with. A lot of you are familiar with justification, redemption, some of those type of things, but we're going to be talking about adoption into the family of God this evening. And I started out last week's message by using Hitler's book Mein Kampf as an illustration, how that people have often said words aren't that significant, but for every word that was written in Mein Kampf, I believe it was 25 people died in World War II. As such, that so words are important. Words can be used for good or words can be used for evil. And it's important for us as believers to know what the Bible words mean so that we can live them in our life. I was blessed. I was the first child of three in our home, so I got some privileges that my sister and my brother didn't get, and I let them know that, you know. Well, I'm the big brother, and so I get to do this, and you can't do that. Well, anyway, I have such a nice big brother anyway. But anyway, you know, hey, why don't you go play in the traffic, sis? But anyway, growing up, sibling order is something for sure. But an understanding of what biblical adoption is very important if we are going to enjoy the Christian life to the full extent. Now, when we think of adoption today, it's different than what biblical adoption is, and we see the word adoption in the Word of God, and we'll be looking at that. But to help you understand the doctrine of adoption, I am going to answer three questions this evening. Three questions. Number one, what is adoption? We'll start with a definition biblically. And then two, what are the privileges of adoption? And then how can we make adoption work in our lives today? So, question numero uno. That's all the Spanish I know besides taco. Anyway, question number one. What is adoption? Now, here it is. It's different than, you know, being adopted today if you go out and adopt a child. But adoption is the act of God by which he gives each of his children, here it is, an adult standing in the family. Now, that's important. We'll explain why. But when you're adopted into the family of God, you have adult standing immediately. We'll explain that as we move along. Adoption, now I want to make this clear, adoption is not the way of getting into the family of God. Regeneration, or being born again, is the way you get into the family of God. That's the only way, is to be born again. Now, when a couple adopts a child, it's really a beautiful experience. And they can give the child their name, they can give the child their address, they can give the adopted child their home, their wealth, but they cannot give the adopted child their nature. Can't do that. The child will always have the nature of his parents. Now, the only way to get into God's family is to have God's nature and share God's life. And that can only come through regeneration, because if any man in Christ, he is a new what? Creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Adoption, again, I want to make it clear, is not a way that you get into the family of God. Adoption is the way you can enjoy God's family. Adoption is the act of God by which he gives each of his children an adult standing in his family. In other words, immediately when you are saved, the moment you are saved, you receive an adult standing And that means you have all of the privileges of an adult child of God, but you also have all the responsibilities of being an adult child of God. That means that you and I cannot use the length of time which we are saved in as an excuse for being a crummy Christian, for being a poor Christian. God expects us to start living the Christian life from the moment we are saved. And he ensures that we can do that because he puts within us who? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Someone may say, well, you know, I've only been saved for 4 or 5 years. You can't expect too much from me. Well, no, God says, I expect of you what I expect of all of my children. God's going to give us adult privileges, and then he expects us to exercise adult responsibility. And that means that adoption, the instant you are born into God's family, you have an adult standing. Number two, what are the privileges of adoption? Turn with me to Romans chapter 8, 14 through 17. In Romans chapter 8, in verse 14 through 17, we have a lot of those privileges listed. It says, for as many, Romans chapter 8, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but ye have received the spirit of what? Adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs of Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified with him. So, what are these privileges that we have? The first one is walking. Walking. You know, of these six privileges, the first is the privilege of walking. It says in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God. The word led is a verb, and it means willingly led. Now, you can't lead a baby. You can't lead a baby because a baby can't walk. A baby has to be carried, and some of the babies, I won't use any names, Mason, but if some of the babies who can walk, they still want to be carried from time to time by mama. So here is this big kid, and Sarah's struggling to carry Mason, but a baby has to be carried. But when you enter God's family, when you are adopted, instantly you are able to walk. You're able to walk the Christian life. The unsaved person, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. The unsaved, before we're saved, we walk too. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2. In verse 1 and 2, you have thee quickened, made alive, who are dead in your trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So we see in Ephesians chapter 2 that we walked in disobedience, we walked according to the prince of the power of the air. But now, when you come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, Philippians 2, verse 13 tells us that it's God that works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God gives you the desire and the power to walk in his ways, to walk in obedience instead of disobedience, because we are led by the Spirit. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit leads us, so we can walk. And we can walk as we are supposed to. God has a plan for our lives. He does. immediately when we're saved, he is ordained that we should be conformed to his what? His image. He wants to make us like Jesus. God has a plan for our life, and he has a path on which we are to walk in. Romans chapter 6. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. And in verse 4, it says this: therefore, being buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, here's what it says, even so we also should walk in the what? The newness of life. We're to walk in the newness of life. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8 and verse 4. Romans chapter 8 and verse 4. It says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Here it is. Who walk not after the flesh, but what? After the Spirit. So before we were saved, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2, we walked according to the course of this world. We walked according to the prince of the power of the air. And after we're saved, we walk according to the course of God. We walk according to the Spirit of God. We walk in the newness of life. We're not to do our own thing, but we're to do God's things. We have the freedom from sin, and we have the blessing of the privilege of walking to please the Lord Jesus Christ. So the first privilege we have is the privilege of walking. The second privilege we have is the privilege of freedom. Let's look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. It says in Romans 8:15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The privilege of freedom. Now, the fact of the matter is that under the law, we were in bondage. The Jewish nation had to obey, and if they did not obey, they were judged. Linda and I just finished reading 2 Kings in our Bible study. God had promised them blessing, and we read about the kings who walked in a way that pleased the Lord, and there was a few of them who walked in a way that pleased the Lord, and God blessed them. But then we saw that so many of the kings did not walk in a way that pleased the Lord, and 2 Kings ends with the children of Israel being in bondage in Babylon. Why? Because they did not walk as they should walk. As Christians, we should walk as we are to walk as we should walk, because if we do walk as we should walk, we will experience freedom. But if we do not walk as we should walk, then you can expect to be in bondage to a variety of sins and be under the judgment of God, just as Israel was. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 4, verse 1 through 7. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 1 through 7. It's another scripture that relates to this very thing that we're talking about. It says, now I say, and kind of explains this business of adoption, that an heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a slave, though he be heir of all. You see, when it's talking about a young child, his father leaves everything to him, but he doesn't get it yet in the world that we live in. It says, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Even so we, when we were children, were under the bondage, under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem us that were under the law, that we might receive the what? Adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. There's a contrast here between being a servant and being a son. The word son here refers to a mature son, not just a little baby. When you are a child, you are under all kinds of rules and regulations. My mom used to say, don't do this, don't do that, don't touch this, don't go there. That was a long time ago. You know what? I said the same thing to my kids. I had the rules, I had the regulations. Paul informs us that the Holy Spirit who has come into our lives is the Spirit of adoption. I'm glad for the Holy Spirit comes into our lives. We have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 15. Praise God for that. I suppose these two words best describe little children, fear and bondage. Fear and bondage, because if you don't do what your mommy and daddy say, there could be a board meeting in the basement, you know. Kids are always afraid to do something, and they are in bondage. They must always obey others. They are under the control of their parents, to be sure, and their teachers. But you and I, as God's adopted children, are free from the law. I'm glad we don't have to live under the ceremonial law anymore. I'm just so glad we don't have to do that. That does not mean that we are to be lawless, though. It doesn't give us a right to be lawless. It does mean that our relationship with our Father is one of love and not one of bondage, so we can walk in freedom. So that's number two. We have freedom. First we get to walk, then we have freedom. And then thirdly, we have the privilege of speaking. Look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. This states that we receive the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The privilege of speaking. According to Galatians chapter 4, when the Holy Spirit comes into our hearts, he cries, Abba, Father. And then we are able to cry, Abba, Father. No baby is born speaking. None of my kids came out and said, Hi, Dad, how you doing? It scared me to death if they did. But no baby is born speaking. Now, that would be remarkable if that happened instantly. But when you are born into God's family, even though you're only a few seconds old in the Lord, when you were adopted, you have the privilege of speaking. And by that I mean you have the privilege to speaking to the Lord in prayer and having him hear you. That is a wonderful blessing. We have the privilege of speaking to God in prayer. We have the privilege of praise, speaking to him in praise, speaking to him in worship. And then we have the privilege of speaking for him in witness. Amen. Speaking. Once that you're adopted into the family, the privilege of speaking to God in prayer, speaking to him in praise, speaking to him in worship, and speaking for him in witness. I really like number four, though. The next privilege is found in Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. We have the privilege of assurance. I talk to so many people who say, oh, you can't know for sure you're saved. Wrong. You say, well, what are you talking about, preacher? Well, Romans chapter 8 and verse 16, it says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We know we're God's children. No little baby knows it's a baby. A little baby doesn't even know it's a human being. It has to grow into that knowledge. No baby knows who his parents are. A baby gets to know very early that certain people are very close to him. and are very meaningful to him, but he doesn't know how to call them dad or mom. I remember the excitement when my kids, you know, would say, da, 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 you know, recognize you and start realizing that, you know, hey, this is daddy and this is mom. You know, they usually say daddy first because it's easier to say than mom, ma, 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 da, da is easier. But anyway, what that has to do with anything, I don't know. But anyway, I just threw it in there. It's free. So anyway, when you and I are born again and adopted, instantly we knew that we were God's children. Instantly we knew who our Father was, and we're able to look at him and say, Abba, Father. And Abba means daddy. Abba expresses a close, intimate, loving relationship with our Heavenly Father. And that's the kind of relationship that we have the privilege of having with God, a close relationship with God. I think of the song in the garden, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. You know, if you read the scriptures, 1 John chapter 5, these things have I written that you might know that ye have eternal life. So we have the blessed privilege of assurance as believers. And then number 5, the privilege of inheritance. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 17. If children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And no baby can inherit anything. If the parents die, they leave their estate and leave their estate to the baby, then it is under the hands of a trustee until it's time for them to legally inherit the wealth. I'm thankful that when we're adopted into God's family, we don't have to wait for our riches in Christ Jesus. They are ours immediately. We need the spiritual wealth now in order to grow. Romans 8:17, we are told that we are now the heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. That means everything we inherited comes through Christ. We have two names on the check. The one is Jesus Christ, who signs the check, and then we sign the check as well. You say, well, what are you trying to get all about? Well, that's why we pray in Jesus' name. I remember asking a preacher, why do we pray in Jesus' name? And he said, oh, well, that's just the thing we do. No. You think about John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. Now listen, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is our access into the throne room of God. He is the first name on the check for all of the privileges and all that we inherit. That's why there's no greater name than the name of Jesus Christ, because everything that we have from God is through his Son, Jesus Christ. You can pray to God till you're blue in the face, but if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have no access. You're just talking into the air. We know that God heareth not sinners, the scripture says. You and I were born rich in Christ Jesus. Boy, oh boy, we have the Holy Spirit in us. We have access to the throne room of God. We have grace to find help in our time of need. These are so many of the things we have now. We don't have to wait till the sweet by and by. We can have, and we do have, promises for the here, now, and now. I think of how many times in my life that the Lord Jesus Christ has given me the grace that I need to get through a difficult situation, and all I can say is thank God through my Lord Jesus Christ. We have the riches of his grace, we have the riches of his wisdom, and we have the riches of his mercy. As Michael prayed this morning in his prayer, I'm so glad that God doesn't give me what I deserve. Man, what an inheritance. He gives me what I don't deserve. We can and should draw upon all of his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Finally, privilege number 7, and we cringe at this a little bit, but I'll try and explain it the best that I can. We have the privilege of suffering. Look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 17. It says, if so be we suffer with him, that we may be glorified, we may be also glorified together. For my kids, and I'm sure for your kids, we do everything that we can to shield our babies from suffering. If a baby starts to suffer, we drop everything to try and make the baby comfortable or get the help that's needed for the baby. But here's where it's different. God allows his children some degree of suffering because we aren't babies. He's treating us like adults. Now, let me just tell you from personal experience. We need suffering because it builds our character. We need suffering because it builds our spiritual muscles. We need suffering because it teaches us about the grace of God, and we need suffering because it prepares us for glory. I am probably a fundamentalist today because of suffering that myself and that lady went through when we were in Haiti. I was with a new evangelical organization over there. It was such a difficult time. They had lied to us so many times. There was immorality involved. I won't go into all of the sort of things. And when I confronted the director, he says, oh, I'm a fundamentalist in belief and a liberal in practice. Any way you slice that, it's a liberal. You know, you say and do not. But we came back with some convictions that God helped crystallize in our life. And I tell people this, and I've told you this before, I would not want to go through that again, but I wouldn't trade it for $1 million, because God knocked a lot of the rough edges off of our life, and it really drew my wife and myself together as we went through this together. We had to watch each other's backs. We had to cry out for God in prayer. I got so sick that I could hardly walk. And yet they were trying to steal our airline's tickets to keep us there. It was quite an experience. Why does God do that? You know what? It built my character. It built my spiritual muscles. And it made me rely on him. The Bible says, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. God gives us the privilege of suffering because he wants us to grow. Many Christians are like wheelbarrow Christians. They don't do anything unless they're pushed. They're teabag Christians. They're nothing for the Lord till they get in hot water. You know, God often uses suffering because he wants us to grow. The ultimate privilege of life is to be entrusted with God's glory. God puts us through suffering that he might be able to share his glory with us, and that's an amazing thing. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Are you living up to your privileges? That's adoption. If you're a Christian, you've been adopted. And you have an adult standing in the family of God. With this standing comes responsibility. Now, don't run away from suffering. Don't waste your inheritance. We are sure that we are born again, and we share with others. We have the privilege of speaking to and for God and the freedom of walking with God. We have some wonderful privileges. I am glad I am adopted into the family of God. Adult privileges, the moment you're saved, and adult responsibilities.